Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Zach's Tech Talk Tuesday, taking place on a Wednesday this week. Apologies for the one-day delay, but I'm back from vacation, and we are ready to go. My name is Ryan McQueenie, and on this week's show, we will be covering what will be hopefully the first of a three-part series on artificial intelligence. This show is obviously geared towards tech investors, and by now, nearly every tech investor has likely added AI exposure to their portfolio and prepared themselves for what many have called the pending AI revolution. But what exactly is artificial intelligence? What is the end goal of this new research field? What are tech analysts and investors obsessed with in this new trend? And what types of stocks offer the best chances at growth in this budding field? Our AI series will attempt to answer these questions, and on today's show, we are going to focus on kind of the first half of those questions, the basics of AI that you must grasp before throwing your money into the trend. This is obviously an incredibly complex topic from kind of a scientific background with lots and lots of technology or tech terminology to unpack. And you obviously, as with any investment, do not want to waste your time and cash on things you really don't understand. So let's start right there with defining key terms. We're actually just going to start with the phrase artificial intelligence itself, because one of the struggles with talking about this topic is that there is not one universal definition. But for the purposes of this series, we're going to consider artificial intelligence to mean any sort of machine-based technology that attempts to learn about its environment, problem solve, maximize its own efficiency and success rates, or mimic human cognitive and physical functions. An AI machine might look like a box, or it might look like a humanoid robot. Its appearance does not in any way necessarily make it, you know, an AI solution or not an AI solution. However, there are certain robotics that attempt to focus on mimicking physical functions more so than cognitive functions that might manifest itself in a certain way. However, there are plenty of solutions that are simply trying to mimic human cognitive functions or get close to it, and that would be kind of the other side of the spectrum there. So we're trying to cast a broad definition to try to really include what we'll get to here in a second is all these fields that we see people talking about when we talk about AI research. So the other term I want to start with here is machine learning. Some people actually might use the terms machine learning and artificial intelligence interchangeably, but technically for our purposes, we're going to say they have different meanings. This term really refers to the ability of a machine to quote unquote learn without being explicitly programmed. In other words, machine learning refers to algorithms that allow machines and computers to learn and adapt based on exposure to new data, rather than being limited to following a certain set of instructions. This kind of goes hand in hand with the phrase deep learning, which is kind of a category within a category, as it's typically considered a subset of machine learning algorithms that are multi-layered and more complex. To keep things here in relatively simple terms, each layer involves learning from the previous layer's output. Of course, another term you'll see thrown into AI discussions is the phrase big data. For us, we're just going to say this refers to a data set that is particularly complex. For example, a large online retailer might have a big data set related to its customers' shopping behaviors and preferences. This is related to AI because it provides the amount of knowledge needed for AI to learn and evolve. A little bit of data or a few results here and there isn't really going to help a multi-layered and complex algorithm learn from each specific layer's output. What you need is these massive, massive chunks of data for these programs to go in and kind of learn and study outcomes. Again, going back to our definition of machine learning, the learning and adapting is based on new exposure to new data, and that these big data files, these big data packets really offer that, the tools needed here for these machine learning programs to learn and adapt. So the next thing I want to talk about, kind of the final term, which I think is going to flow into the rest of today's discussion, is what is called general intelligence. In the context of artificial intelligence, general intelligence is basically the end goal, often called strong AI or full AI. Artificial general intelligence refers to the hypothetical intelligence level of a machine that could perform any intellectual task that a human being can. So we're not there yet, obviously, and I think when we look at the field from more of a science fiction perspective, we think of artificial general intelligence as like I said, being the end goal, or kind of this dystopian outcome that will lead to robot overlords conquering the world. Now, we'll get to that in a second here. But the reason why reaching general intelligence is considered so difficult, actually kind of assumed impossible by a lot of people still, it has to do with how ridiculously complicated the human brain is. Just as we have not created a camera lens that can replicate the quality of the human eye, we have not yet built a computer that can process things exactly like humans can. Obviously, there are certain ways, certain situations in which computers are currently crushing humans. Off the top of my head, certain games like chess and Go. At this point, we have AI programs that are just much, much better than humans can be, because they eliminate the human mistakes that players can make. However, there's kind of several other types of areas that the gap between machines and human brains are really shown off. So I want to kind of go through a little thought example. It's not necessarily a real example, but it's kind of a mental exercise. I don't want to take credit for this one specifically. This is something that's used as a little test, I think, by many in this field, and it's just a useful little mental exercise, as I said. So if I say the word bird, what is the first thing that you picture in your head? Give you a second to think about that. But again, just I'm saying the word bird, what comes to your head? Probably something rather small. It has two wings. It can fly, first of all. It can fly around very quickly. You know, maybe the size of a fist, maybe a little bit bigger. You know, and as a rational person, I can definitely accept this answer as being totally reasonable. This is what comes to my head when you say the word bird. However, it is absolutely, definitely not true of all birds. So simply programming a machine to know everything there is to know about every type of bird would result in that machine's understanding of birds to be much more complex and nuanced than something that would result in picturing a tiny little fist-sized animal with two wings that can fly around very quickly. Still, it seems useful in human communication, interpersonal communication, to have kind of an unspoken type of rule set where when we say bird and that's the image that comes to our head, it's an acceptable image. It's an acceptable outcome. We are all kind of on the same page. We're all in agreement there. It helps with the way we contextualize and compartmentalize information and are able to sort through it quickly. This has to do with the concept called knowledge representation, and it's at the core of many of the main obstacles in advancing AI. The average bird is not going to look like a tiny little thing that flies around quickly and eats out of your bird feeder in your backyard and whatnot. You know, there are large birds, there are small birds, there are birds that can't fly, there are birds that are predators, there are birds that are prey. So a computer program that just like took the average of all birds ever, it really wouldn't give the same type of representation that our heads jump to when we think of a bird. So that's the type of challenge is the way that humans are able to take their observations and represent them in different ways. There's also, of course, as I touched on earlier, there's some ethical and philosophical issues that come up in this field. You know, especially with whether general intelligence should actually be an end goal or not. Now, I do want to kind of get us away from the science fiction here. There is a generally accepted notion that machines would never really seek to destroy humans because of pure evilness. But the concern here is that if machines are able to, you know, learn and adapt from new data, that means, you know, they might also are in a lot of cases already learning and adapting and finding new questions and new tasks and new goals for themselves. So the question is, what if the existence of human beings stood in the way of a machine completing a task that it has programmed itself to complete? Now, if that machine is a tiny little box in the corner, maybe our physical existence is not threatened. But as we start to incorporate that intellectual technology into the more humanoid robotics things that I've talked about, you can kind of see that I'm getting into that dystopian science fiction future a little bit. I'm personally not too worried about that in our lifetimes. There are plenty of people who are worried about that in our lifetimes. You know, there's also the conversation about, how automation will affect the global economy, the amount of jobs that it will replace, where we go as a society when, 20-30% of current jobs can be automated and you wouldn't even really know the difference. So that's where you start hearing people from, again, ethical, philosophical, but also political standpoints, bringing in conversations about universal basic income and responsible AI research. So all sorts of things that you'll hear when we have these discussions. And I think it's important to note that for every kind of one perspective on it, there's another perspective on it. So there are actually plenty of researchers who think that general intelligence is not something to be feared per se. There's a chunk of AI researchers who believe that robots with the level of intelligence where they could, potentially destroy humanity actually would just ignore humans altogether, and just kind of move past our existence, if you will. So, some things to think about there, some key terms to think about. Now, again, I want to say, we're a tech investing podcast. We will get to stocks and companies and all sorts of different real research that's going on the ground right now and affecting top and bottom lines, how we're seeing these types of solutions applied in the real world right now. That is coming in the next two parts of this three-part series. I just want to leave us with one more head scratcher as we kind of approach this from more of a meta or a macro perspective. The other complexity really here is the complexity of human emotions. So we human beings do very weird things with our feelings. We love, but oftentimes we hurt the people that we love. We can fear things, but we oftentimes choose to put ourselves in situations that we're afraid of. Why do we choose to do these things? Can we teach machines to mimic this? And should we? These are all questions being asked by AI researchers right now, and they're important questions to think about if you're interested in investing in this field. This is the type of thing that is really going to compound on itself as time goes on. So we might be in what seems like the early days of AI really reaching the ground level right now, but it won't be too long until this really starts to take off. So as a tech investor, as a prudent tech investor, you need to be paying attention and asking yourselves these questions and debating these types of issues right now. That does it for part one of this series. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As a reminder, if you feel that we've missed something or if you want us to cover a different story, shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. Make sure to check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We are also now available on Spotify. you use that application for your podcast listening, just search Zach's Investment Research and you should be able to find all of our shows. Thank you for tuning in to the Zach's Tech Talk Tuesday podcast this week, Wednesday. We will see you next time.